This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, of course, our next story, well, this Friday actually, will mark exactly 5 years since MH370 went missing back in 2014. And there are talks coming from the government about the intention to resume the search for the plane.
So Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad promised this in an interview with CNN over the weekend. In that interview, he spoke with host Sarah Abel as well as Danica Weeks, whose husband is one of the missing passengers on board of MH370. Tun said that for as long as there is hope, we will continue to think of ways and means to find out the fate of the plane.
Now, this was also expressed by the Transport Minister, Anthony Loke, at the MH370 Remembrance event. This took place over the weekend. He said that the government is awaiting proposals from companies to resume the search. Now, this is dependent on whether they have credible leads. Ocean Infinity, which is the U.S. exploration company that actually conducted the search mission till June of 2018, they're offering to resume the search with some hope offered by new technology. And here's what the Transport Minister said.
As there might be some new technology over the last 12 months, we are prepared to look at that and we are willing to discuss with them. If they can convince us that the new technology can be more efficient in terms of the search, then we are more than willing to restart the search. But there must be a proposal from a specific company and then we have to have some agreement with them. So like what Ocean Infinity has done before, that is something that is acceptable to the government and then we are prepared to look at a new proposal.
So far, the search for MH370 has yielded nothing else but more than 30 pieces of debris. And out of those, only 3 wing fragments have been confirmed to be from MH370.
And another comment from the Transport Minister was that the government has been completely transparent about the search thus far. And here's his statement in his own words.
Whatever information we have already shared in the final report that we have published last July, there's no such withholding of any information. The report was published in full. As far as that report is concerned, that is already final. Right now, we are more focusing on the resume of the search. If there is any specific proposals that we are hoping that some companies such as Ocean Infinity or any other companies who can come forward and give us a proposal and tell us what are the credible leads, then we are prepared to look into it.
And of course, while all this goes on, the families of those missing passengers are still hoping for closure. Here's what was said by Grace Nathan from Voice 370 at the Remembrance event.
I took note of all of the points that you mentioned about wanting to continue the search and hoping for proposals and credible leads. And on that note, we implore the government of Malaysia to set aside some money, for example, $70 million USD that was set aside previously for Ocean Infinity to encourage no cure, no fee searches in the future.
And that was Grace Nathan, spokesperson for Voice 370. We'll be right back on the evening edition. It's BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's Calvin and Ezra sitting in for Lee Chuen Lin. It's the evening edition. Taking a look at our next story, and it looks at whether or not we should be sharing at the workplace.
Boy, there's thousands of cases, and for each one, I have to fill out 200 little box thingies on 50 different screens.
At least you get to sit on your butt all day.
That's actually the worst part. My doctor said I have a canyon.
Oh, God. Scully, why are you always telling us about your disgusting body?
Okay, so the common phrase, just be yourself, gets used a lot when we talk about how to form, meaningful and authentic relationships. But it's advice that we tend not to use when we get into the workplace. Even though we generally like our colleagues and feel inclined to share personal information like our family life issues or health issues or even fitness woes.
Well, a study was conducted to figure out what happens when you reveal the less talked about parts of your life and identity. Mm-hmm. And the analysis shows that talking about personal information that's not obvious, for example, your sexual orientation, gender identity, right, religion, or mental health issues, can have a positive impact on relationships with colleagues. Instead of pushing people away, it can help to deepen relationships. And this is true even if there are some negative connotations associated with the trait at large in society or at work.
Now, there is, however, a flip side. The research says that if you talk about more obvious identities, colleagues didn't feel closer and sharers didn't feel better about themselves. Examples include gender and race. So talking about either of these in relation to one's own identity would likely elicit more negative reactions. Eden King, one of the study's co-authors, suggested that this was because such talk might be seen as a show of heightened pride, so to speak, especially when discussing a particular type of identity.
So the takeaway is that sharing personal identity-related struggles or joys at work is likely to have a beneficial effect, which is good news for people who would like to talk about their gender identity, HIV status, or mental health, but worry how their co-workers will react. But those same co-workers are likely to be less sympathetic to discussions of the problems related to things they already see and therefore feel, rightly or wrongly, like they know about.
Yeah, this is terribly tricky to unpack because, you know, when you head to the workplace, you're spending, what, 8 hours in a day, and you're sharing a lot of work, you know, you're problem solving. Mm. And in the midst of it, in trying to get to any way to alleviate any type of bottleneck, you're trying to get closer to your colleagues in what way you can. But where is that line? Where is it that you're sharing too much or you're sharing too little, and that becomes a bit too rigid, that there's no rapport between you and your colleagues? And I'm wondering, for folks out there listening, what is your workplace dynamic like? And, you know, is it more friendly? Is it just strictly professional?
Yeah, I also wonder how often people prefer to separate their work and their life, right? I think on the show, we discussed a lot of work-life balance issues related to that. And I think whether the relationships necessarily transfer, do you see your colleagues as friends? Do you trust them? I mean, you have to trust them in the work sense, but do you trust them with personal information about your personal life, right? I think in a lot of instances, perhaps in places that are more competitive to get information about your other colleagues.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weapon that they can use against you, right? Not to say that all workplaces are hostile, but there are some that are out there.
Well, there are many folks who try and be cautious and, you know, err on the side of caution when it comes to these types of things. You know, I've been running a few different teams here at BFM, and with those different teams, you require a different managerial approach almost because people come from different backgrounds and different generations, and you're always trying to figure out ways to increase that rapport. We'd love to hear from you to tell us what you think about this. 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us, of course, 0187898899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Kelvin will be taking a look at those messages. And talk to us about your perception of, you know, whether your colleagues share or don't share personal information with you. How does that impact your working relationship? Once again, the number is 7733 2900. I've got some music right now by Elvis Costello. It's Watching the Detectives. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.